Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis knifes his way down the left side of the lane. He'll lay it off the window and good. He has scored three consecutive buckets for the Bucks.
Bucks talk starts now.
Missed, rebounded by Portis. He flipped it right back up and in with a foul. He's thumping his chest. Bobby Portis flexing.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Four straight wins for this Bucks team. 8-9 on the season now. 8-9?
Yeah.
8-9, all right. 8-9, fifth place in the East. The best homestand the Bucks have had since December of last year. A weird part in the schedule where they basically never left for a month. But, you know, we heard from Doc Rivers a lot in the last couple, not just the last couple games, all season long, of his belief in this team. He felt good about everything that he saw and maybe the rest of us didn't get a chance to see. And he even said a couple of times, the run is coming, I can feel it. I remember him being adamant, too, after the 2-8 start when somebody pointed out the number of teams that have reached the playoffs. And Doc Rivers defiantly saying, we're going to make the playoffs. And that drawing some criticism because Doc Rivers has been a lightning rod for that throughout his career. But now here we sit with this team looking very different. We talked with Bobby Portis after the game, and he gave a very lengthy answer. When we just asked, you know, Bobby, I know it's not just one thing. It's been a lot of things. But what's been the biggest reason for this turnaround? And it was a laundry list of it. You know, the way they're playing defense, the young guys, the vibes have always been great. I said at training camp, this was the best vibes that we had here. We've always believed in ourselves. We never wavered there. And it's starting to execute on the floor. Now, all that being said, and the last thing I'll point out, because Bobby brought it up, I think we've talked about it before too. All of these types of stretches, it happens to every team. It might happen again to the Bucks. You go 2-6 or 2-5 or something like that. And Bobby himself said, look, if you have a stretch like that in March, nobody really cares or pays attention.
Bingo.
But it's the first 10 games of the season, so it draws more attention, and we get that. All that being said, if things go differently in the final minute of this game, you're still, the sample size of what we've seen is still much better, but it doesn't feel quite as good when it's, well, should have been four straight wins and 6 out of 7, but then LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller happened. But you have to feel very good about where things are headed for this group.
Yeah, Justin, you nailed it, man. I'm feeling really good about this team. I'm up there watching the game, and I think it was early in that fourth quarter, man, where they just, it was a Bobby block, a Bobby bucket on the other end.
Yeah,
and
two blocks for,
yeah,
Bobby,
and the vibes just felt good. It was watching a team that you and I had talked at lengths about that we were expected to see this year. Gary Trent Jr. knocking down some shots and Giannis dominating. Damian Lillard tonight I thought was fantastic. It just felt like this game and really these last two games, really the last month, the whole month of November where they're 7-5, has felt like the team that we've kind of been waiting for all along.
Yeah. Over a year.
Yeah. Good point. I will say this, though, Justin, before I get to the game balls. I am glad that we do not see this Charlotte Hornets team until February 5th. Shout out to the Hornets team, man, because they are electric. They're fun to watch.
Well,
LaMelo Ball is electric. Brandon Miller is incredible. They're putting up, you know, all kinds of shots in that fourth quarter, and weren't like, there's a few of them that they leaked out and got wide open, but they were hitting tough shots, and it was, you know, a 16-point game down to a 5-point game in a blink of an eye. So I'm really glad we're going to see them later on down the road, and we don't have to worry about them for quite some time.
Yeah.
Two game balls today, and this is not going to come as a surprise to anybody. It's the two best players for the Bucks. Well, I would, but it is Damian Lillard, number one, 31 points tonight. It just felt like he had real good pace tonight, controlled the game. When the Bucks needed a bucket, he was the one to get him down there. And then Giannis, I feel like you could give him a game ball every game, Justin, but tonight, that game got a little muddy late. He hit 5 out of his 6 free throws in that last minute to kind of help put this game away. So I thought that, you know, for a guy that we have talked about, I know I have brought it up, that you got to get that free throw shooting percentage at least around 60 to 70. And he has struggled, but when it comes time to knock free throws down, man, we saw it in 2021 in the game six. He is as clutch gets. So I give my two game balls to Giannis and Dame for carrying this team. And a resilient win, too, Justin, on the second leg of a back-to-back. It was an emotional game last night. You know, the score wouldn't indicate that, a 12-point victory over the Pacers, but it was a team that the Bucks most certainly had circled on their calendar. For them to bounce back tonight and play a younger, more rested Hornets team and to play that the way they did, I was really happy to see the outcome tonight.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We can nitpick some things in the way that this game closed, but all things considered, the ship is headed in the right direction. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Ball pinballs off a couple defenders on the other side. Jackson comes away with it for the Bucks. He'll feed it all the way up the floor to Fritz. And Fritz rips the court again. Almost an identical shot to the one he just buried for Milwaukee.
Torian Prince, another big performance. Gary Trent Jr., another big performance, too. He had four threes tonight after six threes last night. And those are part of, I mentioned Bobby Portis gave a pretty lengthy answer that included many things on why we're seeing a different version of the Bucks. But a couple of things we talked about a little bit last night, the ball movement for this team and the bench production and just how everything kind of fits into place now. Gary Trent Jr., A.J. Green off the bench, Bobby Portis as well. I think they finished with 36 tonight, so you didn't get to 40, but it has been a much different second unit for this team. And most importantly, you're seeing the lineups where it's Giannis and bench players productive, and that was a huge issue for this team the first 10 games of the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Cody in Waukesha.
Guys, I was at the game tonight, and here were my takeaways. For one, LaMelo Ball went off tonight. I think had his career high, according to every source I found. But that didn't help them enough as, like, Dame and Giannis and Bobby, all those guys scoring and getting rebounds and playing as a team tonight, and I think that's what they especially good on this long streak of winning. And that's what I think wins games, like playing as a team.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And, Dane scored 30, like over 30 points. Giannis almost had 30. And what you guys said before, can't think of his name. We got him from the Raptors.
Gary Trent.
Gary Trent Jr. did awesome tonight. And, yeah.
Yeah, Cody, thanks for the call. I mean, they're playing as a team. The roster makeup, it just fits better. It makes more sense. We didn't see Ryan Rollins tonight. He was cleared, I guess, and he was made available for the game tonight.
He was just shooting around after the game tonight.
Yeah, third or fourth straight game we've seen him shooting before and after these games. You know, there's a lot of intel out there as well that Tuesday or Saturday, a strong indication that we're going to see Chris Middleton make his season debut. So they're starting to get into the territory where you have good problems to have of, man, we might have too many guys. I mean, Pat Connaughton didn't play tonight again, and it's going to be somebody else when Chris comes back. If Ryan Rollins, like, what does that mean for DeLon Wright and some other guys? But these are two-way players that we're talking about, and that was one of the big issues they had a season ago. They did not have those types of players. You had Pat Beverley's that could give you that defense. offense was a bit of a struggle. This year it's basically just Andre Jackson Jr. there. And I think Doc Rivers, you know, I think there's a couple of things that need to be said about Doc Rivers that he does not get the credit that he deserves. I do want to get into that because it's probably a lengthier conversation in where the highlights really stand out with Doc Rivers coaching this group and how much he has helped them. But to his point about their playing as a team, you didn't see the assists in the first half. I think they had nearly as many blocks as assists in the first half. But we heard Doc Rivers say, look, yeah, I think it was really just the fourth quarter when the ball started to stick, and I think we had issues with ball movement. In the first half, I know the assist numbers were low, but some of the actions we were running were working, and it's going to clear a path for Damian Lillard to the rim. You're not going to get assists off of that. So I didn't have any issues with that. And it's pretty evident. There is much more comfort and chemistry and familiarity between Dame and Giannis. It was always there with Dame and Brooke Lopez. But we've seen a number of guys, Giannis and Gary Trent Jr., we talked about this earlier in the year, took some time for Giannis to get that with Malik Beasley. It took a little bit of time. Part of that was Gary Trent Jr. dealing with back spasm and shooting slumps. But it's clearly there now. And the biggest piece to back up, you know, Cody saying they're just playing as a team, is how connected they look defensively.
9 blocks tonight, Justin. Good call on the blocks because that didn't really feel like it. But, yeah, I mean, and to go to Cody's point about Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball, I mean, those players are going to hit shots. That's going to happen. Not every one of those shots were wide-open shots. Some of those were contested. LaMelo Ball shooting rainbows over Brooke Lopez and Giannis. Sometimes it's as simple as tipping the cap, you know, to the opponent. They 82 combined points for those two. LaMelo Ball went into halftime, Justin, with 8 points.
10.
Was it 10? He had 10. The 2 free throws. Yeah. You're right. 10 points. I mean, 40 points and a half. You just got to kind of
take 10 points on 3 of 13.
Yeah, 3 of 13. Ajax, a tremendous job. I got a question for you, though. Surprised you didn't see Ryan Rollins in that second half with the emergence of LaMelo?
No, I mean, Doc basically said before the game, without saying, he wasn't going to play.
Okay.
I mean, I know they made him available, but Doc basically said, I don't think he's going to go tonight. And I think he's going to be made available, you know, I don't know if it's from here on out, but for the next few games, I don't know when. Because the way that Doc Rivers described what he's dealing with, I mean, I've never dislocated my shoulder.
Me either.
It doesn't sound like anything you ever want to do.
I don't want to.
And, you know, Doc had said the options are either you kind of wait it out and wait for it to heal and kind of work through what you can, and you get the sense that it's a lot of pain management, or you have surgery. That's going to wipe you out for the season. It's a huge setback. He was in a good spot. I know it was a very small sample size, but he had a very good game in that one start that he had. He had a couple of flashes in the games before that. And I think part of the sense is, if you're cool with it, with putting in the work and dealing with it and working through this, rehabbing it, pain management, we'd rather that because we don't want you to not necessarily take a step backward, but not have the opportunity to keep getting out there and build upon what we're seeing. So I don't know when we'll see him. I know, you know, seeing him as probable and available, it probably sends off some false signs of hope.
Sure.
I don't look, now having said that, he plays Tuesday. I don't know. But the good news is you have DeLon Wright.
That you have it's a good
not
problem.
Just, yeah, yeah, that it's not like we need another point guard in
sure.
here. Now if Damian Lillard or somebody else goes down in the
knock
meantime, then it's a different conversation. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned Doc Rivers. And where he probably doesn't get the credit that he deserves and why I do think he is a good fit for this team. We'll get into that conversation after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Points, 7 of 15, but 5 of 8 from distance. That's been the difference. Giannis unloads on a 3 on the other side, and you heard the result. He splashes through his 3rd 3-pointer of the season.
4th straight win for the Bucks as they knock off the Hornets tonight. It didn't come without a scare, though, thanks to LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to get to some of those points on Doc Rivers, but let's head to the phone lines first and catch up with Justin in North Carolina. Justin, before you get to your point, did you take a picture with Dave Kane last time when the Bucks were playing the Hornets in Charlotte?
Absolutely, man. Living legend. He gets me through these sorry behind Charlotte Hornets announcers. I know Del Curry was a one-time Buck, but I don't know who their guy is. He remains nameless because what you guys do, Justin, Dave, Lisa Byington, Marcus Johnson, Steve Novak, Melanie Ricks, like, this is what we live for as Bucks fans out of town, man.
We're spoiled.
It gives us a connection back home.
For sure. I ask because he told me he took a picture with a couple of Bucks fans in Charlotte and said, yeah, there was a couple of people that were even asking about you, and he was almost put off by that. And I said, like, that, well, that had to be Justin.
Well, I just told him we had the two greatest mothers on earth, man. You know, Justin and Justin doesn't get any better than that, man. Hey, look, I know you're about to get into Doc Rivers. Here's what I see from Doc, and you and your co-hosts are much smarter than this. Shout out to Dick and Port Washington. Always shout out to Dick and Port Washington, right? That's what we got to do. Hey, Cody's call was absolutely amazing, too. I think he kind of took a little bit of my thunder. Hey, they got a couple guys out there. But LaMelo had 50 tonight. He had 38 shots to get 50.
Yeah.
And 60% of his shots are probably bad shots that just happen to go in. Mm-hmm. Call a spade, right? Now, Brandon Miller, I think he's the one that's really going to be this guy for the Hornets. But the crazy thing for me is looking at this dude, LaMelo Ball, who is probably, in my opinion, because I don't watch a lot of reality TV, probably one of the best reality stars in all of the TV that I watch. He can't have a better whistle than the MVP, the Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hey, Justin, we had to watch that game down there live in Charlotte with that egregious. And I told Dave, I was like, look, the way you described that foul call is like how I would talk to you off the air. And it's amazing what you do. Tonight, though, ball movement, absolutely amazing. But the thing I see about Doc is, remember, Andre Jackson Jr., hate to say this for all the Marquette folks listening, he's a national champion for the UConn Huskies. And that's the same way that UConn uses guy, the way that Doc is using him.
Yeah.
One thing I'm going to push back on you two, and you two do a great job. Hey, if I could give a game ball on your show, an honorary game ball, I got to go A.J. Green. Like, he just does everything. And do you see the way this kid, first of all, they look at him like he's a mouse in the house, and he laughs. Because he plays good defense against everybody. And LaMelo's absolutely amazing with his dribble. Probably top five dribble in the NBA right now, maybe top two. But when Dame is doubled on the inbound and stuff like that, he has enough handle to get that ball across half court, which we saw guys struggle with other that aren't named GA. So, hey, man, it's a lot of great things going forward with this Bucks team. We're going to continue to go up. And I thought Bobby just said it well, man. Bobby can hoop. Doc can coach. A lot of guys on this team can hoop, and the sky's the limit, man.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Justin, and I think we talked about this last night. The A.J. Green thing, I keep going back to Sam Hauser because even I was guilty of it. I didn't watch a ton of Marquette or Virginia. I didn't watch a ton of college basketball. Like, if it's not the Arizona Wildcats, I'm pretty much not watching it. So I was guilty of it. Everybody in the league was guilty of it. Where you look at Sam Hauser for the obvious reason, and it's the same reason people look at A.J. Mm-hmm. Green and say it and say, let's go at this guy. We can take this guy. And you slowly learned, hey, man, this guy can defend, too. He can hold his own where he's not a liability, and he can knock down shots. That's what A.J. Green is giving this group. Doc Rivers, you know, was not shy about that last year either when we saw him inserted into the rotation and getting some of those opportunities. He had said the defense, like, he can defend, like, he's tough, he doesn't beat himself, he moves his feet. These are the things that stood out. And I think part of last year was, I mean, in many ways it felt like a fever dream to begin with, that you get Damian Lillard right before the season starts and he wins the opening night for you against the 76ers the way that he does. And you're off to a pretty good record, but the whole time you're still like, I don't know, should I feel differently about this? And things go off the rails, you get injuries. It was a weird season. And Doc Rivers, from the start of his arrival, told us, I don't really know the young guys. We haven't had practices. We're only going to have like five practices from the time he took over till the end of the season. And that's the only real opportunity I have to get a look at them. When he did play A.J. Green, I think, number one, it was out of necessity, but I think he started to see, okay, there's something here. But he was still going to lean on what he knew and what he trusted, and those were the vets that he had, you know, a sample size to view. In the offseason, we heard about training camp and how important that was going to be for all of these guys to get more of an extended look at them and to really go through expectations and everything else. And I think that really put everything over the top of, okay, these guys are going to do what we need. We have the confidence in them. We need to play them. A.J. Green has been fantastic on both ends of the floor for this team. Hit a couple of tough shots tonight.
Yeah.
You just have more options that you can throw out there and ride the hot hand. That's one of the things that I think Doc Rivers does need a lot of credit for in these last, you know, four games especially, but the last, seven games when this team has looked markedly different is Doc Rivers has done everything, every single Bucks fan that is called into this show, been active on social media, has called for him to do. Doc Rivers has done it. And I think it's probably catching some Bucks fans off guard that are led to believe, well, Doc's a terrible coach.
We're supposed to criticize him now.
Right. But Doc Rivers has been adjusting. Yeah. He has been riding the hot hand. He'll start Andre Jackson Jr. the minute that the offense becomes an issue. Or tonight he said it was actually the defense, and he thought that LaMelo Ball kind of figured him out and figured out how to go at him in the third quarter. So it was, okay, let's pull him off. And let's bring on more offense and make LaMelo Ball play defense. The way he's sprinkled guys in and out, Pat Connaughton has not played in the last four games. I mean, I know it's an unpopular opinion. I still think Pat Connaughton had three pretty good games earlier this season.
First game was one of his best games.
First game was very good, yeah. The Hornets game, he was very good in that. I mean, Pat Connaughton should have basically hit the game-winning shot in that game. But I don't know that the athleticism is there anymore, and that's been the challenge for Pat Connaughton. And Doc Rivers, now that he's had his guys there, has gone away from him. He said, okay, here's the young guys. Here's how we're going to here's how we're going to play. He has played the hot hand. He has played different lineups. He has gotten it to work. I know it's not just Doc. It's all of this group. But he has gotten it to work with Giannis and Damian Lillard. Giannis is having just as good, we're nowhere near 82 games, but Giannis is having just as good of a season as he did a year ago when he set all those efficiency records. And I think most importantly, Doc Rivers has been a steadying voice for this team. He is a veteran coach. He has that one championship. You can point to the 3-1 leads that he had in series where his team did not win that series in the playoffs. And
it's not all on the coach.
Well, and I can't dispute that. That happened, sure. But this group, you know, you went from Mike Budenholzer to a first-time head coach that did not have that experience. I think you needed that type of voice. And somebody not only that has experience, but someone that when things are tough, there's not going to be any infighting. There's not going to be any finger-pointing, regardless of, again, the jokes that you hear about Doc Rivers. There's not going to be any finger-pointing. The message that we heard all along, after the first couple of games, after the first 10 games, after that six-game losing streak, the message we heard all along was, we're fine. We're going to make the playoffs. I like what I'm seeing. I know a run is coming. I know it sounds crazy to say that, but I like what I see, and I believe in this group. And that's important. Like, it can be bad if you're the one that's still playing on the deck of the Titanic when the ship is going down. Like, at some point you need to know when to cut bait, but we're nowhere near that point yet, and it's important to have that steadying voice to say, guys, now is not the time to panic. And look, I think it also needs to be pointed out, I don't think we were anywhere near that with the players themselves, but Doc just reinforced that.
And I think the point to kind of make off of that too, Justin, because I wholeheartedly agree, is that he's not afraid because of his pedigree, because of his history, the players that he's coached, the championship he won. And you talked about Giannis's leadership just last night. He's not afraid to go to a guy like Giannis or Dame and be like, hey, I need you to be a voice in this group. I need you to kind of step out of your comfort zone maybe a time or two and lead this team. So I don't have any complaints about Doc Rivers. The guy's won over 1,100 basketball games as a head coach. He knows what he's doing. I thought at the time of the age, I wasn't a fan of the Adrian Griffin hire. I know we're looking back, you know, a long time ago, it feels like. But I thought that the front office, the ownership, did the right thing at the right time, and you're kind of seeing those things kind of pay off. To go back to Justin, the call from North Carolina, well, you can always call in with your game ball. Anybody can call in with their game ball. We may not get Justin Garcia's game ball, but you guys can call in with your game ball. We only do it during Bucks wins, though.
Well,
we're fair weather fans here. Do we got any game balls tonight out of you tonight?
I don't have any.
We got nothing. That's okay. If you got a game ball, 855-616-1620. Feel free to drop us your game ball. But the Bucks definitely heading in the right direction, Justin, and it all starts, I think, with the head coach, Doc Rivers.
Yeah, heading in the right direction. We'll take a look at where the Bucks stack against the rest of the league season to date. And in this month of November, we'll also start to preview that next game against the Miami Heat, an NBA Cup game. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks lead is down to three again. James got it top of the arc, fires away from three, and he hits it, and this time he'll have a chance at a four-point play. He has been fading Josh Green into that foul all night long.
All right, so four straight wins, a 4-0 homestand for the Bucks. Six of their last seven, they have now won as well. And if we look at just the month of November, the Bucks have played 12 games. They, at worst, will go 500 in the month of November, but they are 7-5 in this month, and it's not quite where you want it yet, but it's getting there. The offense for the Bucks in the month of November is a 114.5 offensive rating. That is within striking distance of being seventh best in the league. It's 10th best in the league. The Bulls are number seven at 114.8. So you're 0.3 of a point away from the Chicago Bulls in offensive rating for the seventh best in the league. But you're in the top 10 in offense. Defensively, the Bucks are ninth best at a 110.9. And your net rating is 3.6, which is tied with the Golden State Warriors for ninth best in the league. So you are in the top 10 in all three of those areas, the most important areas, offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating, top 10 in all three of those in the month of November. And again, it's beyond 10 games that we're looking at this sample size of. I don't care that it's early for any period on the schedule. If I were to tell you, hey, the Bucks defense is basically matched what the Boston Celtics defense has done for an extended period of time now, I don't think many of us would have thought that was possible, but that's what we're seeing. The Celtics are eighth best defensively in the month of November at 110.4. And again, that number for the Bucks is 110.9.
Yeah, that's, and I think, Justin, too, that offensive number is going to get better. And I know we have talked about the defense being the identity, but I have a hard time thinking that when you get guys like Chris Middleton back, you know, maybe Ryan Rollins, not that he's a offensive scoring machine, but we're just seeing Gary Trent Jr. kind of work out of the kinks that he had early on in the year. You're now seeing A.J. Green develop a key role in this offense, and Damian Lillard, who also had some struggles in part of the season when he suffered that concussion against the Celtics. And Giannis is Giannis. I mean, he's the NBA's top scorer right now. So, Justin, I think that eventually that number's going to get better. I do believe that. I believe this team from an offensive standpoint, and I mentioned it last night, if you're an opposing team, where do you start on this Bucks team? I mean, obviously it starts with Giannis and Dame. That kind of goes without question. But number one, you can't stop either one of them. They're going to get theirs. Giannis is the most dominant player in the NBA, maybe be in the conversation of all time. I mean, he's going to get his. He's mid-range tonight looked fantastic, and he looked comfortable doing it. He's hitting free throws. And then you sprinkle on, okay, we're going to shut Giannis and Dame down. Are you going to leave Gary Trent Jr. open? You know, because now Gary Trent Jr., Justin, it's crazy. In like the last week, when he puts up a shot, I automatically assume it's going in.
Yeah.
And I know he's not shooting 100%. I know he's not going to shoot 100%. But the confidence that I've had from the beginning of the year with Gary Trent Jr. Has now transitioned to the confidence I have with A.J. Green. And that's what I'm saying. And then Bobby Portis off the bench. Like, this team can hit you in 8 different ways. I do think that's a great spot for them to be in currently. 8-9 record. You know, they've won a handful of games now in the month of November. I think they're going to get better.
Yeah, 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple other points to make on that, and Damian Lillard. Also, one more call to get to. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
4 straight wins for the Bucks, holding off the late charge for the Charlotte Hornets. So 8-9 on the season, and suddenly up to 5th in the Eastern Conference. Let's squeeze in one more call before we sign off for the evening. Will I Am, you're up next. I'm assuming you're at the game tonight, Will.
Yes, I was, Justin. Thank you so much for taking my call. What a game, man. And I sometimes tweet this at you that, you know, random players always want 50 from our team. So it was kind of interesting seeing, you know, Melo put up 50 on almost 40-some shots, which is kind of crazy. But I got a few points here, and then I'll wrap this up. We can't deny our duos here with Dame and Giannis, you know, finally putting up numbers that, you know, we've dreamed of for about a year and a half now. And the consistency and the ease of the ball, being able to drive the lane, get the shots they want, it felt so good to see him get that 4-point play for Dame. Lastly, well, the last two ones, our coach being a coach, man, our coach actually stepping up, demanding that our team fall in line, and hey, they've responded so well, so props to Doc Rivers. And then we're talking about this right before the break, Brandon. I think Giannis wanted to send a message with drilling all of those jumpers. Missing that game winner in Charlotte, he responded so well, dialing up like no other. And then lastly, just to beat on your last point about being in that top 10 area, we are licking our chops at the schedule. We are craving more than I've ever seen on this team, and it's been one win at a time. And hey, guys, 4-game win streak. We were debating if it was a 2-game win streak, even as a win streak. Now we got that win streak. I love our Bucks ball, man. And I want you guys to finish it out and go Bucks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. 5 for 5 on mid-range shots was Giannis, and that included 3 of 3 from almost the exact same spot he missed that would-be game winner against the Charlotte Hornets. He mentioned Dame and Giannis and what we've seen from that duo recently. The last thing I want to close on here is Damian Lillard got above 30 points tonight. He has not shot the ball well so far. The efficiency, not quite what we hope to see. We've seen some games where it's there, some where it isn't. I don't know how much of it is coming back from the concussion or not, but the thing that leaves me most optimistic is, you know, despite all of that, and I think the outside view is Dame's kind of been disappointing in Milwaukee. Dame hasn't had that many great games this season, even in the small amount of games. Having said that, in his 14 games played, he has scored 30 points in 6 of them this season. So
that'll work.
Like, even when it's not there, he's still scoring, which is very important.
13 assists last night.
Yeah.
You know,
he's getting to the free throw line, but he still has that burst and ability to get into the paint and finish at the rim, or as we've seen more and more of, you know, you mentioned the 13 assists last night, make the defense make a decision. You get into the paint, you touch the paint, and make them say, are we going to contest a Damian Lillard look at the rim, or are we going to leave our man in the corner or above the break and let Damian Lillard throw it out there to one of these shooters that the last 4-plus games they've been hitting those shots. So we'll see if that can continue Tuesday in Miami against the Heat for the NBA Cup. The last game against the Pistons is going to be the tell-all game, because the Bucks can lose this game Tuesday and still win their group. If you win this game, it sets up the final game against the Pistons, winner take all, regardless of what happens. Even if the Pistons lose their next game and come in at what, 2-1 and 3-0 versus the Bucks. If the Pistons win, the Pistons would win that group. So it's all setting up for that final game in Detroit. Who would have thought that? But Tuesday night, another group play game, the Bucks and the Miami Heat. And that's going to be a good test, too, because the Heat have started to do similar things to the Bucks and starting to right the ship here. Bam Adebayo hasn't been great so far. Tyler Hero has, so it's going to be a good test for the perimeter defense for the Miami Heat. For the Bucks. 6:30 Tuesday in Miami. That's when the game tips off. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Hopefully, Brandon will be handing out some game balls Tuesday night in Miami. We'll talk to you then.